Good morning, everyone. I'm gonna make a confession. I was not even planning on doing this. I used to smoke cigarettes a long time ago. There it is. Not the cigarettes, a clicker. And when you're looking for your lighter, you do that. And I had flashbacks like I was looking for my lighter. I was looking for the clicker for the thing. So, all right, that's enough embarrassment for me. All right. Quitting smoking was one of the hardest things I ever did, but I'm glad I did it. Okay, we are in Acts. I got everything straight up here. We are in Acts. I got a Bible up here that's not going to stay closed for me, so I apologize for that. We are going through the book of Acts. I talked about last week with the intentions of looking at what they did and what can we do, right? Like, I want this to be motivation for us. I want us to re-examine what we do individually, right? Our time during the week. I want us to examine what we do collectively, right? And I want us to look at the example that the church gives us in the book of Acts and see what we can glean from that. That is my intentions in all of this. And we are in Acts chapter 1 right now. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. We're in Acts chapter 1. And last week, of course, we talked about Jesus promising the Holy Spirit and how they had to wait on it. And this week, we're going to look at that little small window in between the time that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit and when the Holy Spirit came. Maybe about a period of 7 or 10 days, possibly. All right? Depending on when, you know, certain things. But about between 7 or 10 days was this waiting period that the apostles had. So, there it goes. So, you can imagine, you're the apostles. Put yourself in their shoes. You've been with Jesus for the last 3 years. You've seen the amazing things he's done. You've seen him put on the cross. You thought that was the end of it, right? They killed him. Their whole plans of revolution are over now. And then next thing you know, he's raised from the dead. You see him. He's with you for the next 40 days. He's doing amazing things. He's talking to you about the kingdom. I mean, you're just like, this is the... Can you imagine how lifted up and encouraged and inspired and just ready to go that the apostles were? This man rose from the dead. And then he says, all right, I'm leaving. But it's good. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, right? I'm leaving. So just wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And then... And there you are, right? And now you got to wait. And you don't even really know what you're waiting for. What's it going to look like? How are we going to know when we get what we're supposed to get? Right? That is a strange, scary, just a position to be in. Like, what are you doing? And so there they are. So what do they do? That's what I want us to look at. What do they do? Because I think we're not in the same boat as these guys. I think for those of us who have given our life to Jesus Christ, us who have been baptized, that we have the Holy Spirit. Maybe we haven't been putting ourselves in the position to be used by him as much as we should. Talking about myself in that. So I'm kind of in this position, like, I want to. All right? And I said this sermon series is for West University Church of Christ. If you are a visitor here, I am preaching to this congregation here. We're all Christians. We're one big giant congregation around the world, so it applies to all of us, no doubt about it. If you're visiting here, you're thinking about joining here, I want you to know that, hey, what I'm saying here, like, this is the direction I want this church to be going in. So just know that and understand that as we go into this. I took this job here because I felt God called me here. No, that's just a straight-up truth. I really did. I had no intentions of coming here. I didn't even know it was existed or anything. And something, a number of things happened and say, okay, well, this must be where God wants us, and I want to do something. I want to do something. I'm not happy to just, you know, sit up in my office for a week, preach a sermon on Sunday, teach a class on Wednesday, and let's do it again next week. I'll see you then. I'm not happy with that. I want to do something, and I believe this church is at that position as well, too. And so I think God is working here. And so I want us to look at this with that kind of mind frame. Yeah, I believe we've already received the Holy Spirit. I believe we can always receive more. I think he gives us more as we open ourselves up to him more and more. But what do we do? Where do we start? And like I said last week, I think it starts with the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to talk about today, you already have it up on the board there, is we got to be doing this, right? We got to pray. And I'm going to show my age here a little bit. I actually stole that from an MC Hammer song. We got to pray just to make it. So I don't know if you're a Hammer fan back in the late 80s, but that's where I got that from. I did embarrass myself again. I'm sorry. All right. We got to pray. So here we are in Luke chapter 1. The Jesus has ascended. They're sitting there. They're waiting. And so what do they do? Okay, verse 12 is where I'm at in chapter 1 of Acts. I don't have it on the board. I got part of it. I'll take that back. I got part of it here. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. So 11 of the apostles, right? You can count them there. They went back to the room. They don't really know what to do. They go back into Jerusalem, and you know where they go into the room where that they've all staying, probably kind of hiding out. You know, I mean, those guys that put Jesus on the cross, they're still around. You know, they're trying to squelch this thing that he was doing. And, you know, it was pretty awesome when we were with this resurrected man who we know they are not going to hold him down anymore. But now he's not here, right? He just went up into heaven. The clouds are hiding him from us. We don't know where exactly he's at, but he's not with us. And so where do they go? They don't go to the temple. They don't go back into the streets. They go up into the room. All right? I want to put myself in their shoes. What are you thinking? What do you do? And so there they all are. Verse 14. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. That's what they were doing. They were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. So here's who you have, the 11 apostles. Doesn't mention here who the women are. You can imagine, of course, Mary, Jesus' mom is there. The other Mary, more than likely, with them. And then Jesus' brothers are there. They're all together, and they're constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Now, you gotta put yourself, think about this. Because what would they be praying about? What were they praying about? For one, they don't have the Holy Spirit yet, right? But what are they praying about? And so I was thinking about this, because you don't even know what you're waiting for. And I'm thinking they were probably remembering what Jesus has taught them about prayer, right? What has Jesus told them about prayer? Maybe they had a way of praying before. They went to Jesus at one point in time and said, you know, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And there's a couple different versions of the Lord's Prayer. You are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Father in art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's in Matthew, but it's also in Luke. I'm going to look at Luke's version here. I do actually prefer Matthew's, but I'm going to use Luke's because we're going to continue on in Luke chapter 11. Verse 1, he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So there you go. Teach us to pray. I hope you're teaching your children to pray. I hope you're teaching your grandchildren to pray. You may have grown up and you just always heard prayers and you just knew how to pray. But there's a lot of people that don't know how to pray. I've heard that myself, right? Little kids say, and even adults say, I don't know how to pray. What do I say? And they just kind of, whoa, man, can you imagine not knowing how to talk to God? It's something that needs to be taught. So they asked, teach us how to pray. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Lead us not into temptation. That's the prayer that he gives them. Father, hallowed be your name, recognizing that the one you're praying to is holy. Right? When you go in prayer, don't we just jump right in and say, okay, God, here's my list of things that I need for today. No, recognizing who you are talking to. God, you are holy. That's where he starts. And then give us your kingdom come, your will be done. Not, whatever I pray, whatever I'm about to lift up to you, God, recognize, please, that I want your will to be done first and foremost. All right? Then he goes on to say, okay, give us each day our daily bread. Give me what I need for today. Take care of my necessities, please. I'm coming to you because you have the power to do that. I recognize that I'm sinful. I recognize that I have faults. I recognize that I failed. I'm asking for forgiveness. And not only that, but that I can forgive those who've sinned against me and help me with temptation. That's the prayer that he gives. Simple, but it's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. I believe if we pray that and focus on each of those, the points, not just saying it because it's something that we memorized at one point in time, but to focus on actually what we are saying. That's an amazing prayer. And that's the prayer that he gives them. But of course, it's not the only way to pray, right? He's given them other examples of prayer and how to pray. If you go on in Luke, he talks about persevering when you pray, continuing to pray no matter what. And he gives this example starting in verse 5 of chapter 11. Suppose one has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine has arrived and I don't have anything to set before him to eat." And he answers from within, "Don't bother me. My door is already closed. My children are in with me and we're in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For whoever asks receives. For whoever searches finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open." And he gives an example to continue in prayer. He gives another example of a woman going before a judge with a problem. And the judge isn't even a good judge, but because the woman is just persistent and keeps bothering him and bothering him, finally says, "All right, I'm just going to give this woman what she's asking for." And he's, of course, not saying that's how God is. But Jesus is saying, when you pray, it's not just one thing you throw out and say, "Okay, well, I've said my prayer, I'm done." No, continue to pray about it over and over. Continue to go to God with that. Because if it's not that important to you, you're really not going to pray that much about it, are you? You're showing that it's truly important to you. It's on your mind, right? And continue to bring that before God. And so I wondered if the apostles prayed in that way. It says they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Constantly. That's what they were doing. It doesn't say anything else about, surely they, you know, went out and got some food from time to time or whatever. You know, were they there in they're all the guys from small town Galilee in the north, the small fishing communities and other places. Were they there seeing the big sights of Jerusalem? Were they going to see, you know, the musical shows and the plays and things like that in Jerusalem while they were there? They were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. So surely they listened to Jesus' words on that because it was that important to them, whatever it is that they were praying for. I imagine, I'm thinking if it's me, well, I'm like, "Hey, can Jesus come back, God? You know, like, please, we don't know what to do with that." I don't know what they're praying. There's another example that Jesus has left for them. This one, this one always gets me. This was right before Jesus chose his apostles. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Spent the night praying to God. You know who stays up all night praying to God? Parents with sick children stay up all night praying to God. Right? Because that's all they can do. This was that important to Jesus of who he was going to choose, the men that he was going to choose to be his apostles and what they had before him, that he stayed up all night praying about it. Outside of something dire, like a sick child or a sick relative or something like that, when is the last time I or any of us have stayed up all night praying? These guys are devoting themselves to prayer. What lies before them, they don't even fully know. And like I said, I'm using this, the book of Acts, because I want us to look at it. What does this mean to us? Where are we at? What if we spent some nights in prayer about this church and the Holy Spirit working in it? And what does God have planned for it? Is it that important to us, the role and the actions and what God is doing through this congregation to the city around us and the world around us? Is it that important to us that I'm willing to lose sleep over it? Because if I'm not, then it may just not be that important to me. Really? Right? You make time for what you make time for. And it needs to be important enough to make time for it. Jesus spent the night praying because it was important to him. And then it says, when morning came, it doesn't say, "Ooh, that was a rough night. Let me go try to catch a few hours." Right? No. He gets right back to work. He called the disciples to him and he chose 12 of them who he designated apostles. All right? That's what he did when he was done praying. Got to work. An amazing example. So what did he pray for? What did they pray for? We don't know. We don't know what they asked for. What did they even know? I do think Jesus has he helped them in this. He helped them understand the night before he went to the cross in John chapter 14. He talked to them about prayer, right? Because he was trying to, he knew what was before. He knew what was before these guys, even if they didn't. He was trying to encourage them. He was trying to teach them. And he was telling them things like we talked about last week. You're going to do greater things than I did, right? You're going to do greater things than I did. And that must have been on their minds as they sat there knowing that, okay, this guy, Jesus, this man, this we know he's our Messiah, right? We know he comes from God. We've seen the miracles. You know, I mean, they killed him and he rose from the dead. Like, there is something powerful here. And he told us that we're going to go and do things. We're gonna go throughout the city and the countryside and the neighboring towns and the other countries and to the ends of the world. And he says that he's going to give us help, right? He's going to give us help. He's going to give us a counselor. He's going to give us a guide. And they're aware of all of this. They must know that something powerful is going on. He told us that we're going to do even greater things than what he did. Jesus told them in John 14, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And I will do, I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And so that must have been on their minds, right? Okay, he said that we were going to do greater things than what he did. And so they're thinking back to all the great things that he did. And I'm imagining that, you know, of course the miracles, right? The walking on water and the multiplying food and the sick and raising the dead. And all these things must have come to their mind. But then also they must have thought about the interactions, the conversations with the woman at the well, right? The conversations with people that weren't Jews, that were different from them, and how people responded to him, and the love and the mercy and the compassion that he showed. And, you know, some of these guys, they're ready to call down fire on people that they disagree with, right? James and John, that's their way they interact with some people they don't agree with. But Jesus didn't do that, right? He came from, and how am I going to do that? How am I truly going to be like Jesus and how I have mercy and compassion on people? But he said, I would. He said, we would, because he was going to send us that Holy Spirit. And I can't wait for that Holy Spirit to come because I want to do these things. That must have been in their prayers. Jesus kind of, next chapter over in John 15, he kind of says a similar thing, right? But he says, if you remain in me and my words, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, a lot of people, I think they read this and they think, oh man, just like he said in John 14, Jesus is going to give me whatever I ask. Ask whatever you wish. Oh man, okay, well, here's my Christmas list. You know, here's my wish. Here's what I want. But that's not exactly what he's saying, is it? Just like in what we just read in John 14 and also here, to his Father's glory. Ask whatever you wish to my Father's glory. You guys have work to do, right? We're building a kingdom here. This is what I'm talking about. What do you need to build the kingdom? What do you need to build the kingdom? Do these guys have a lot of money? Do they got a lot of pull? Do they got a lot of clout? No, they don't. They don't have any of that. And he wants us to go to the ends of the earth? I don't even speak the language. How am I going to go do these things? What do you need to do this? What do you need to build the kingdom? Don't look at and worry about the barriers that seem to be in front of you on how you're going to do these things. I got that. I'm going to take care of it. Whatever you need for my Father's glory, I'm going to give you. Don't worry about that. I'm going to give you whatever you need. You have the job in front of you. So don't worry about those things. Church, we might look out around us and say, oh, how? How? I mean, there's so many empty seats even in this congregation. We're not a big church. We're not a big church. I was telling my class this morning, I met someone last night, and they said, oh, you're a preacher, right? Where at? And I said, West University Church of Christ. And they said, oh, I didn't know there was a Church of Christ in West U. And I was like, oh man, that hurts. That hurts. All right? And you know, so, man, who are we? What are we? Who are we? Exactly. We're exactly who we need to be right now because God is exactly who he is. And he says, I'll give you whatever you need to get the job done. If it's for my Father's glory, if it's for building this kingdom, I got it. Ask. But you got to ask. You got to realize where it comes from. You cannot do it on your own power and rely on your own ability and your own finances and your own gift of gab or whatever else. It's got to come from me. So ask, and I'll give you whatever you need for my Father's glory, that you may do what? Bear much fruit. Multiply. Grow disciples, right? Show people that you're my disciples by doing what I did. How are you going to do what I did? You need what I had. You need God dwelling in you. You need the Holy Spirit. And so there they are. They're praying constantly. For sure, praying, trying to remember and recall what Jesus did for them, how he taught them to pray and what he showed them and what, you know, not knowing what's in front of them. But here's the thing, right, is that sometimes we don't even have to know all of that, right? With the apostles, the position they were in, surely, I mean, the Holy Spirit, what was it going to look like? What were they going to do? There must have been fear there. There's definitely the unknown. And there's all of that tied up in that. And they're constantly in prayer, and surely they must have ran out of words eventually, right? I mean, who can really pray all night? I mean, Jesus can, but he's Jesus. But come on, the rest of us? Surely you run out of words. I mean, eventually you get to a point where you just don't know what to pray anymore. That must have happened. But you know what to ask, at least. I mean, yesterday, I think this happened yesterday specifically, so I would have an example for this sermon. We had a sewage problem, a water problem at our house yesterday. Water was backing up from the line. I'm not a plumber. You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, I actually wanted to be a plumber for some weird reason. You know, baseball player and plumber. Those were my two top jobs I wanted. I was probably a better baseball player than I would be a plumber. But anyway, so and I wasn't even good at baseball. So, we had a problem, right? And so, okay, I know a little bit. I know a little bit. So I got water coming up. It's coming out from the bottom of the toilet. I turned the water off. I got coming up from the shower. Okay, man, what am I going to do? I'm starting to think, oh, man, this is going to cost so much money. That's what I started to think. This is going to cost so much money. I'm going to have to call a guy out here. He's going to have to rip stuff up. Oh, man, how much is this going to cost me? Is it going to damage other things, you know? We're going to have to pull some walls out here. I start thinking, like, I don't have the tools to do all of this. I don't know what to do. I start kind of, oh, man. And we're, you know, supposed to be somewhere. It's all this kind of time crunch. And I go out, and I open up the drains outside, and, you know, the top, so you can see the lines. Like, oh, sure enough, you know, it's backed up. Oh, what do I do? I'm going to go buy a snake so I can get in there. A tool, not a real snake. I'm going to go do this. And so I'm on my way to Lowe's or Home Depot to go get something, and it hits me. I know somebody. I know somebody that knows this stuff. And he's helped me before multiple times with similar things. Why didn't I think of this sooner? It was my next door neighbor from my old home. Amazing man. Has helped me plenty of times out of the goodness of his heart. Never charged me a dime. And I got him. I call him up. And what do you know? I tell him the problem. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He tells me exactly what I need. I get what I need. I go in. I fix the problem. Bam, problem's done. Simple. All right? Something that I saw as this major giant problem really wasn't that big. And like I said, I think all of that happened just so I could use that as an example, right? We know somebody, church. We know somebody. We know someone that's helped us before. We just got to call him. He's going to give us what we need to do the job. Yeah, I may have to get my hands a little dirty. Yeah, it may cost me a little bit of time and energy and effort. But the problem can, we can take care of the problem because we know somebody who knows more than what we do. Who knows what lies ahead, who knows what's in the future. We don't contact this person, we don't reach out to them. Why? How are we going to get help? We got to do that, church. We got to do that. And like I said, sometimes we don't know what we should pray. What Hy just read, he read, you know, a lot before and a lot after, but sandwiched in there was this. I wonder if you picked up on it. In the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us, helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for. I love that verse. We don't know what we ought to pray for a lot of times. I have things that I think I would like to pray for. I think I know what needs to be done, or at least what I want to be done. But, you know, I'm not always so sure about that. But that's okay. Because God's Spirit dwelling in me knows what I need to be praying for. So he intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. Because he knows what's inside of us, and he knows what we need to do, and he knows what we're at. All we got to do is go before God on our knees, humbly, asking, seeking. That's what we need to do. And if you don't know what you should say, then you don't need to say anything. But you still need to go to God and let the Spirit at work within you talk to God. because it's the same Spirit, right? He searches our hearts. He knows the minds of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. How amazing is that? That our God has covered every base so that we don't even have to know what we're asking for when we go to Him. We just have to go to Him. That is a loving Father who wants to use us to do His will. Church, we have got to pray. We have got to be a praying congregation. We pray for all sorts of things, I know. We pray about health issues. There's a lot of them, right? We pray about them. We pray about our country. We pray about safety. We pray about our careers. We pray about our children. We pray for a whole lot of things, and these are things that we need to pray for, no doubt about it. But we definitely need to be praying about the kingdom of God and how we can be used in God's kingdom. How God can take us with all of our limitations and glorify Himself. Because that's what He's called us to do. That's what He is allowing us to join in the redemption of all His people. And He wants us to be a part of that. We need to be praying about that. So here's what I'm going to end with. Starting next week, I was going to pick one time. I picked this time. I don't know why. Starting next week, Sunday morning at 8:30, an hour before classes start, 30 minutes before you can get free donuts and coffee. If you didn't know that existed, it existed in the fellowship hall. 8:30, not super early, and I'm not saying all night long yet. I'm going to be in this auditorium, and I'm going to be praying to God, what I don't know, but for this congregation and for Him to use us mightily and for His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. I'm going to be here doing that. That invitation is for anyone who wants to be here and doing that, and we'll keep doing that however long. Maybe that grows, something grows out of that, whatever. You know, we do it at other times, but that's what I'm going to be doing here at 8:30. If you want to be a part of that, definitely you're welcome to come do that, right? Maybe we pray for 30 or 40 minutes and then go grab a cup of coffee and a donut and then start Bible class. But that's what's going to go on. And I want you to be praying for this church and for God's kingdom. I want you to be praying for action. I want you to be praying for the Holy Spirit and your alone time to get when you're praying, when you're with others, in your small groups. That's what I want us to be doing. That's what I'm asking us to do, because we have to, church, to think that we can, that we would be used by God without going to Him first just goes against what we have in the Bible. He is our God and He loves us. I've asked one of our elders, Cameron, to come lead us in a prayer over this, to just kind of start us off in that way. So Cameron's going to lead us in a prayer concerning these matters, and then we're going to offer the invitation. Stanley's going to sing the song, and if you want prayers of this congregation, if you want to be a member here, if you want to become a Christian, that opportunity is extended to you now. And we would love to welcome you into that. And so, Mr. Cameron.
Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, we come before You as a congregation, as a family here at West University. We acknowledge You as the great and powerful creator of the universe, creator of all that we see, creator of the life that we have within us. We come before You humbly, and we acknowledge that we need You. We need Your help. We need Your help as we work here as a congregation to further Your kingdom. Please help us with Your Holy Spirit. Please help us to move and to act in the ways that we need to reach the people around us, to build up our own faith and our love for each other and our love for You. Please help us to do and to teach as we go out into the world. Please guide us as we care for the people in our community. Please help us to see the people around us. Help us to see the folks who are made in your image, and help us to have compassion for them. Please help us to see their needs, and help us to know how to meet them. Please help us to meet their physical needs, their hunger and pain, and please help us to be there for with their emotional needs, to comfort and to share the joy that we have in our relationship with you. And please help us as we care for the spiritual needs of the people around us. We all need the good news of your word, so guide us as we teach our neighbors. Help us to teach with love. Help us to teach with kindness and with grace, and to show your mercy as we are living our lives as examples of people trying to live as your son Jesus lived. Please help us to teach the truth. Please help us as we go out into the community to be a light, in this community and in the world. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us in all of this. Your Holy Spirit will intercede for us in this prayer and in every prayer that we pray in words that we can't say. We ask all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.